So let's talk a little bit, Brad Hayes, who is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College, scholar in residence right here. Dr. Hayes, let me ask you this. We had the so-called health care fiasco, in which some New York Republicans, like Congressman Faso, Congresswoman Stefanik Tenney, were put in a tough place in blue state New York. There are now people, front-page stories about how John Faso, for example, has basically put himself into the position where he might not get reelected as a result of what he had done in supporting Trump on the revision and repair of Obamacare.
So I think, we can treat each of these a little bit differently. They're almost like different gradations on a scale. Faso is particularly notable as a member of the House Budget Committee. He submitted an important amendment to the AHCA that was New York specific, right? It exempted New York counties from paying Medicaid expenses and shifted that particular burden to the state. He framed that as an effort at attempting to end kind of unfunded mandates by the state onto counties.
Something, Brad, that Governor Cuomo took great exception to.
He did, right. And basically suggested that created a certain kind of vulnerability, right, which creates ammunition for Democrats and democratically aligned groups. And you already see them moving. Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee has already made ad buys in Faso's district. They're going to run essentially what are attacked ads playing to the healthcare issue. Right. So he staked out very clear ground. He was supportive of this. He put in his own amendment on this. And then he's going to have to struggle with that as a part of his record.
And he has energized his semi-left, right? I mean, I've never seen anything like how angry people are about this.
Yeah, I mean, the question, I guess, is how much did his position taking here exacerbate that problem?
Well, I have no doubt about it. Do you?
Well, they were the left was worked up before. So again, I'm not quite sure. This is the question about how much that particular move haunts him versus somebody like Stefanik, where she didn't really ever take a public position and she didn't have to vote. Since they pulled the bill, she didn't have to vote on it. Now, she may well have been sympathetic to the bill. She seemed to give some indication previously that she was, but she was able to kind of be sympathetic but not have a formal record, right? And given that, I'm not sure that this is going to create as much damage for her that it will for somebody like Faso. And, so there was some speculation about why, in fact, the bill was pulled. Initially, Trump wanted everybody on the record to have that vote, in order to kind of punish those that were not supportive. But this is the utility of not casting a vote. There were members of the Republican caucus in the House that were not really on the record yet. And those people, in some ways, help. They dodge a bullet. Right. And so in thinking about continuing to hold the House, that was probably a decent strategic move to protect people like Stefanik, who hadn't yet expressed a position.
So next up, after health care, which at least we are hearing was a disaster for the Republicans, to the point where they're now thinking about conferencing and coming back with something again, taking another vote, doing another chance. But now next up, they're all talking about tax reform. Now, tax reform was interesting in that in order to get the money that they needed to give the rich people the extra money that they wanted to give them, let's face it, that's what it was all about, they had a little bit of a problem because now they don't have that money, but now they want to bring up tax reform. And the question is, will the conservatives in the Republican conference go along with tax reform if it means that the bank is busted?
Right. So this is a really great question, right? And my sense of the universe, right, is that that tax reform is going to be just as difficult, perhaps even more difficult than the healthcare reform was. And let me give you one example as to why. You mentioned that there's this issue about not really having the money now because of the continuation of Obamacare that they wanted to have in order to make tax reform a possibility. One way of raising revenue Is through what they call border adjustability, which is actually in the House tax reform plan. What this does is it exempts exports from taxation while no longer allowing imports to be deducted from a company's tax bill. It's been estimated that if they move on something like that, it could raise over $1 trillion in the next decade. Now, Trump has said that the House bill is too complicated, but he hasn't fully ruled it out. So
sounds familiar.
Yeah, right. He's tepid, but my sense is that he's going to look for a win so he could probably get on board.
Exactly.
But the industries that rely heavily on imports ardently oppose this move. And some of these are closely aligned with the Republican Party. You can think about oil and oil refining, right? Bringing oil into the country to refine that's an import, right? So, you know, who's in energy? Well, the Koch brothers, right? And the Koch brothers previously have deemed this a tariff and unjustifiable. Grover Nordquist has not been completely definitive on this, but he's basically said that he's not a fan of border adjustability. And so that, you know, creates already some tension, right, between attempting to capture some revenue, but do so in a way that is through a kind of tax. And it's also a bit of a tough sell to Republicans in the electorate, right, to the constituency of people like Trump and many other Republicans. Opponents of border adjustability argue that it'll make products that are imported more expensive, right? So if you think about how you're going to go and buy products at Walmart or wherever, those products will be more expensive, right? And so you're basically saying that, you know, good, you know, working and middle-class families that, you know, struggle to have enough money to go around are now going to have to pay more. Now, if you're an advocate for border adjustment, you basically make the argument that, those prices will be offset by gains in the value of the dollar as exports grow. Right.
Okay.
But here's the thing, right? That's extraordinarily difficult to sell to the American people about the relative strength of the dollar and how that'll offset things. In other words, this is an extraordinarily difficult sell, and the Republicans do not appear to be unified. And this is just one element of tax policy.
That's right. And another one is the idea that in order to get the necessary money you need to balance the budget and all, you take away mortgage deductibility from American families. And let me tell you, that'll be a hard sell.
Yeah, and this is one of the problems with the Trump administration, 2 months in, is that they don't seem to have a central governing and or organizing principle. Is Trump a populist? If he's a populist, then you're not going to do those kinds of things, right? If you are, you know, a deficit hawk, then you will. But he's more concerned at this point, it seems like, about winning, about getting accomplishments through.
Something on the board.
Right, exactly. And so that creates kind of the absence of something that's going to drive our politics, that's going to create a clear narrative on why we should be for certain policies or against other policies. And that means that you have to kind of sell everything individually rather than as a package of goods that are going to achieve a particular principle. And that's much more difficult to do. And it's much more difficult to then get legislators behind you, even if they're members of your own party.
So Brad Hayes is Associate Professor of Political Science at Union College. He is our scholar in residence. He holds a PhD in government politics from the University of Maryland. And we are so delighted when you come by, Brad. Thanks for doing it.
Thank you, Alan.